Hello, welcome to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I taught a class last night, and it was a lot. It was good, but it took the life out of me. I'm so tired this morning, and it's the worst because it was a PM shift, which in itself is fine, but the class is over at 8 p.m., and then I was so kind of strung up. Is that a way to say it? Maybe I was just so full of energy from the class that I couldn't go to sleep until 10:30. And then because I normally wake up at 4:30 for the hotel job, I can't sleep past like 4:45, you know, and then I'm just laying there. I have been teaching more. I don't have a set schedule because at this point I'm subbing, and I've had a good amount of sub shifts the last 3 weeks. So 2 weeks ago, right before I went to Arizona, I visited my dad. It was just a small visit right before his birthday. But a few days before I left, I had a shift and I taught. So I'm not necessarily teaching baking or pastry. I'm just filling in. And this one chef, she has a breakfast class in the morning, which means that at the school, they have a restaurant. At this point, they do breakfast and lunch. Later on in the term, they also do dinners. So they're open for breakfast and lunch, and everyone on the line is a student, and they're learning the line so that when they have a job in a regular restaurant, kitchen, or hotel, wherever, then this gives them some idea what it will be like. You know, so regular people, anyone, other students, they can all come in and have breakfast, and instead of, let's say, two eggs, bacon, hash, toast, instead of this being $20 or more, this is like $9. Or some things like an acai bowl is $6. You know, so everything is pretty much half the price than normal. And it's not to make a profit, it's so the students can learn, which is pretty nice. I haven't eaten there yet. I was thinking maybe at some point when they have dinner, it would be nice to go because the items they have are really high-end items. At the school, they have this butchery class. They have really good items. You know, the students are learning on good quality food. So I was subbing the breakfast shift. So I was basically watching everything on the line. I mean, I don't really deal with these things. I've dealt with them during my career, but it hasn't been my main focus. So it's kind of funny to be teaching it. I mean, basically, I just need to watch, keep things under control, make sure people are paying attention and focusing on the tickets and not stressing out. When I was doing it, the fryer was kind of acting up and it didn't want to heat up. So then they had a fryer in the back of one of the classes. So I turned that one on because for the breakfast, they need a lot of potatoes, you know, like chopped potatoes. And then they add onions and peppers to them. And that's the hash that they serve with the breakfast items. That was really one of the things that went wrong. Nothing else was crazy, except I didn't know all the details, you know, because then someone's also at the cashier, at the cash register, taking orders and bringing out drinks as if it were a regular restaurant. Obviously, the service is not like super amazing, but they're learning, you know, it's okay. So I basically just had to check. I walk around because there's also a bakery section where the cold item tickets come in. And they do a salmon, like a lox bagel with cream cheese. They do acai bowl. And then you can order the pastries there that were made in the baking class the night before. You know, so it's pretty nice because then the students get the real feel of everything. So that was one of the shifts I did. And then after that, I taught two classes in one day, which is great because I get paid per hour. So the longer I'm there, the better for me. And then the shift after that was a cooking 101 class. But they cover some baking items. Even though the first one I taught was, I think we made pizza. You know, so it's kind of in the baking realm. And I showed them how to make brioche. I told them all the steps of how to make brioche bread. So brioche bread is a sweet bread. It's very high in fat because it has a lot of butter. And it can get a little finicky because of the high content of butter. So you have to add it slowly at the end. If you add the butter too soon, it can affect how the bread rises. But if you add it too fast, the butter, it can get soupy. So before you start adding the butter, you want to mix the dough for about 10 minutes. That's like the usual time for when you mix bread, for how to knead it, the time. And then at the end of that 10 minutes for the brioche, you start adding soft butter slowly, and you see how it gets mixed in. When it's almost mixed in, you add the next batch. And I very clearly stated this. I wrote this on the board. And then, of course, some students add all of the butter at once. And then they mix it and it doesn't come together because it's just too much butter at once. You know, the dough is in shock. It's like fat overload. One of the students says, "Chef, does this look good?" And I'm like, "What did you do?" "It does not look good." You know, I said, "Tell me what you did. Did you add the butter in small phases?" You know, and they said, "No, it was added all at once." And I was like, "That's the opposite of what I said." And then the first thing is, do I need to throw it away? I'm like, calm down. No, you should never throw things away. And secondly, how are you going to fix it? You know, you have to know how to fix things when they go wrong. They were mixing on speed one, and I showed them the consistency. It was basically like soup. There was no gluten that had been created because there was just too much butter. So I said, you have to turn up the speed, and I turned it up to speed three. It was a large mixer, but of course, the larger the mixer, the louder when it's on speed three. But I said, you have to put it on this speed so that it will mix in properly and that it's not soupy anymore. You know, it has to have this bread dough-like consistency. So that took about another 10 minutes. So if you don't do things in the way you're supposed to, when you try and fix things, it'll just take longer. You know, like you think, oh, doing a shortcut, or maybe you don't think, you just add it. But maybe you're thinking, if I add all the butter at once, it'll be faster. You know, like starting out, you don't know why you should do things a certain way. And that's why it's good to do things wrong, because then you learn more, right? As in life, hopefully you learn from your mistakes. So anyway, I turned up the speed and 10 minutes later, it looked beautiful, you know, and it came together. So what you're looking for when a brioche is perfect, the butter adds this shine and it's nice and glossy. It has like a dough-like texture and it's more yellow because of the butter. So it came together. It could have been that because you added all this butter too fast, that in the end, the dough doesn't rise properly. You know, sometimes that can happen too. Same as if you add water to the yeast and it's too warm, you kill the yeast. But luckily, the students mixed it for a good amount of time before adding all the butter. So it still rose and it came out great. You know, so that was one class. And I forget, you know, sometimes I forget because of all the things I bake, of all the things I do, I'm used to all the steps. And it's just normal. You know, you do things. It's like when you brush your teeth at night. You know, you brush it. Hopefully you floss. You use your mouthwash. Like, you do all these things without thinking because it's a routine. And that's how it is with me baking. You know, same as anyone else with their jobs. So I don't always think I have to explain each step. I forget, you know, but I do. I have to. And I remember when I was in culinary school, I wanted to know each step. The difference was I asked. I asked why this, why that. And I probably annoyed the teacher. But now I know why. And that's important. It's important to know why, for what reason, so that when things go wrong, you know, or they don't go wrong to begin with, because you know why. But when they do, you have to know how to fix things. Because nobody wants things thrown away, especially with a like 2 pounds of butter in it, you know, especially with the prices going up. So that was my class, but I enjoyed it. You know, at the same time, sometimes it can get frustrating because it tests my patience. And it is enjoyable, though. I enjoy it. Not testing my patience, but just teaching. You know, it is fun for me to show techniques and why you do things a certain way. And it's also just getting used to doing that again. You know, it's been a while, and this is a large class. It's about 14 students. So I'm always kind of running around. You don't have much time to kind of rest. You know, you're always looking at, what is this student doing? Oh, what is that student doing? It's definitely interesting, that's for sure. And then I flew to Arizona to visit my dad for his birthday. And he is now 73. My dad and I haven't always been super close. That was more my mom and I. You know, I had a strong connection with my mom, obviously. If you listen to the podcast, you know. But my husband is always saying it's important, you know, that you keep a connection with your dad, you try and visit. And he's right. I haven't been working as much at the hotel the last few weeks because it was slow. And instead of stressing out like I normally would because I'm not making money, I decided it's okay. The money will come. And I know that in April, it will get very busy because the hotel will be done remodeling. And they've been remodeling. It's a Victorian hotel built like in 1880. So it's taken 7 years to remodel this whole hotel. And in April, they will be done and it's going to get super busy. So then I won't have any time, you know. So I decided to use my off days and make the most out of them. Of course, when you do things on your off days, you spend money. But I'm like, whatever, right? I can't just keep stressing all the time. It's fine, you know? So I decided to take these days and enjoy myself instead. And before I went to Arizona, I actually had a busy week, okay? So last week, I went to Arizona. And the week before that, let me just explain my week. In December, December was very busy for both my husband and I, and I looked on Groupon. And maybe that's mistake number one. You know, when I start looking on Groupon, it's hard to stop because they have some really good deals on there. And there's things like especially adventures, which I love, and activities that get me excited. And then I book like 3 things at once, you know? And then later on, I'm like, why did I do that? But they always end up being really good, you know? So in December, I asked my husband, what would you like to do, you know, activity-wise? Because for me, I love doing things outside. And I want to do things with him and see San Diego and do things locally to get to know the place where I live. Most people don't do that when they live in a certain place. They just think of visiting other places. But San Diego is such a beautiful city and there's so many things to do. So he said he wouldn't mind being on a boat. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, right here on Groupon, it says you can go whale watching. Would you like to do that? And he's like, is it on a boat? And I said, yes. And he's like, okay, yeah, we can do that. So I book it. But then on Groupon, you have to do things within a 4-month period, typically activities, or they expire. So in December, I got this, and then it was going to expire like the end of March, something like that. But the whale season, the whale watching season is, it's like kind of late January till March. Even though everything's shifting because the climate is changing, so it's gotten later and later in the beginning of the year. And I thought this whole thing was super interesting. So I booked the whale watching, and I booked it for a couple weeks ago. So we get there, we get to this marina, and they start explaining everything about the whales. And I'm like wanting to see, you know, first in line, first in the front, asking questions, because it's something I'm interested in. So they show this map, and whales, most of them, especially gray whales, bluefin whales, they get their food right above Alaska and around Russia. When you look at a map, it's actually very interesting to see how close Russia is to Alaska. The whales, they get their food, all of it in that area, and they eat 16 tons a day. They are 98 to 30 meters in length, and they weigh 100 to 200 tons. But they eat the bottom food on the bottom of the ocean. So it's kind of like small krill. And then to start mating, they swim all the way from this area in Russia above Alaska. They swim all the way to Mexico. The reason they swim to Mexico is, first of all, it's warmer. I mean, that's why we all want to vacation in Mexico, right? It's warmer, and there's more saline, there's more salt in the ocean. So that, first off, they mate there. The baby whales are born there. The reason they're born there is because there's more buoyancy because of the additional saline. So the small whales learn to swim there easier. So that's why they swim all the way, just for that, for mating and to give birth. And then once the small whales have learned to swim, they swim back all the way to get more food. They don't have a lot of time because in Mexico, they don't have the food that they need. So they have to swim back. And it's all about survival, right? So in San Diego, you can do these whale tours, and you can see the whales as they stop, you know, in between. They're swimming in between to get back to Russia, okay? So the thing is, this whale tour was about 3 hours. Not crazy, right? Seems about normal. I did a whale tour in Hawaii when I went with my family back in 96, 97, somewhere around there. I think it was 97. We went to Kauai and we did a whale tour. It was 5 hours. And it was amazing. I have like good experiences. You know, there's a lot of scenic stuff to see because we went along the shore of Kauai and you can see the Nepali coast. Really beautiful. And we went inside this like cave with the boat, this large cave. So a lot to see. This, on the other hand, you didn't see anything. We went deep into the waters. So an hour in, okay, we're going straight in the water. At first, you know, it's kind of rocky because the waves are large and there's this sea motion, right? And at first, my body's like, oh, this doesn't feel that great. You know, I'm kind of feeling not too good. But then my body starts to get used to it, and I'm fine. Some people start to get sick, you know, so they're holding some sick bags and they're going to the back of the boat, which if you're sick, don't go to the back of the boat. Like, I understand you don't feel good and you want to hide, you know, and be out of the way. But the back of the boat is even worse for when you're sick. We go an hour out, and then the person on the speaker is saying there are dolphins. So there were over 200 dolphins, pretty amazing, and they're very family-oriented, so they all kind of swim together. So the reason all these dolphins were out there, because there was this big feeding frenzy. So I could see under the water at a certain angle, you know, when the sun hit it, and I saw like thousands, like literally thousands. It was like this huge, huge cluster of little sardines and anchovies, and they were just swimming there, and birds were there, like flying, like trying to get the fish, and all these dolphins, they were all out there and feeding. And if I could see that, how interesting would it be to be underwater? Maybe a little scary, because what else is under there, right, with all these small fish? But it was beautiful. Like, I've never seen so many dolphins in the wild. You know, I've seen a couple here and there, but to see this many was like, oh, wow. Like, this is beautiful. Okay, and then the person on the speaker says, we've located a whale. This other whale watching company, they let them know, like they help each other out. And even these tour guides, just because you're going whale watching doesn't mean you will see whales. You know, this is the wild, this is the ocean, it's not a guarantee. So, you know, a person on the speaker says they've located a couple whales. We go out there, it's like maybe 30 minutes away. At this point, my husband doesn't feel good. He's starting to get nauseous. He goes to the bathroom and he says, I need to go downstairs. And he vomits. Okay. The thing is, he doesn't come back up. And I didn't notice at first because I'm like crazy about these dolphins. And then we even get to the whales and he's still not up because I was like the back of the boat upstairs. This was a good sized boat. There were like maybe 60 passengers. There was a downstairs and upstairs with a lot of seats. Not a huge boat, you know, but a good size. You could also go downstairs to the front of the boat if you wanted to. But I was upstairs in the back of the boat with all these other people. And my husband doesn't come back. So as we're driving to the whales, you know, I'm like looking for him. But I'm confused because I don't see him. Like, I go downstairs, I don't see him sitting anywhere. So I'm like, maybe he's in the bathroom still, you know. So at this point, the person on the speaker is like, get ready, because we found like two whales. They're bluefin whales. They're the second largest mammals on Earth. The first are the gray whale, but there's a pair of bluefin whales and it's mating season, right? So there's two of them. And oh my God, you know, I was so like, holy shit. But I'm on the bottom of the boat in the front because I went downstairs to look for my husband, didn't see him. So now this is what we came for, right? This is the point of this tour, is to see these whales. And the people on the speakers are super excited. And they're like, we don't even see these every day. This is amazing. You know, they're like, I mean, they're having wet dreams here, just talking about whales. And it gets me excited, right? So they're like saying, look out on your left, 2 o'clock, you know, and you see this whale come up and it's almost the size of the boat. Very, very large. Amazing. But they don't have a fin. The bluefin whale, the fin is more on the back. So when they come up, you don't necessarily see that fin. I'm just watching when they come up and they take that kind of breath of air, and they went around the boat probably three times, you know, and everyone's amazed. Everyone's like taking footage and pictures. And it was incredible. Like, I found it to be just pretty amazing. How lucky were we to see these whales? I mean, I felt pretty lucky. So during this, all of a sudden, toward the very, very, very back of the boat, in the corner, I see my husband. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, what's he doing in the back of the boat? And he wasn't even facing like the back door. He was like behind the door, you know? So how was I supposed to see him, right? So I go toward the back of the boat and he's like, I've been sitting here. I was like, well, first of all, I didn't know. Like, you know, you didn't make it obvious. So anyway, he was not feeling well. He threw up. I gave him a sick bag. For him, this 3 hours was a lot, you know. So as amazed as I was, he didn't see it that way. He didn't feel the same because he wasn't feeling well. After these whales, we went back to the marina and it took about another hour. And this was like the worst time, one of the worst times in his life. Like, he was not happy. But how was I supposed to know that he would get sick, right? He said, we can do things on a boat. So after that, he was kind of like anti-adventure, you know? And I said, okay, the next thing we do, you decide. Because I felt very like, this sucks, you know? Here's this amazing thing. But the point I wanted to do it with him is so that we could enjoy it together. And he was having a terrible time. I was having a great time, but then I saw how sick he was, and then that wasn't it doesn't make me happy to see him sick, right? So the reason for us to do things together is to spend time together and enjoy things together. And it sucks if the other person isn't. So we got back, his stomach kind of settled. We went out for lunch. It was this restaurant. Half of it was outside, right on Mission Beach. So we had a clam chowder soup, which was very good. And we had some calamari, which was delicious. And it ended up being a really nice day, you know, but now we know he can't go on a boat. So that's the lesson of that. And then that same week, like a couple days later, because I was off on a Friday, normally I'm not. So I booked a skydive. So I've gone skydiving twice before. Once for my 18th birthday in Atlanta, Georgia. My mom got that for my gift. Second time was about 10 years ago in Phoenix, Arizona. And now, okay, so for Christmas, my husband asked me what I wanted. And since I was looking at Groupon at the time, I said skydiving because there was a coupon for it. And he's like, what? And I said, yeah, let me go skydiving. You know, I was feeling like just super adventurous. And he's like, okay. He got me the ticket. And then I had like 5 months to book it. So this coupon was for Oceanside, which is about 40 minutes north. And I booked it for Friday. I drive up there. And even the night before, like I'm sleeping and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to go skydiving tomorrow. Like, and I started feeling a little nervous, you know, because as much as like it's a tandem jump and as much as these tandem jumpers do it a day, a week, whatever, as much as they've done it, I fully have to trust this person because I know nothing about skydiving. So my life is literally in this person's hands, you know, and that made me a little bit nervous. So I get to Oceanside and it's called Go Jump Oceanside. And I'm sitting out there, I'm a little bit early and I'm like, oh my God, it's going to happen, right? I'm doing it today. It's happening. I wear my Superman t-shirt. It's a must. And I go there with my coupon. They start setting me up. You know, first I wait for like half an hour. The person that I'm supposed to tandem jump with was late, you know, so everyone else, they're with their tandem jumpers, They're getting them set up. They're taking pictures. They're doing thumbs up. And I'm like, what the fuck? Where's my tandem jumper? So he shows up a little late. You know, he's still holding his coffee and he's setting up my, you know, my, I don't know what they're called, I guess. There's a bunch of like strings and cords, right? They have to put this thing on me so that they can attach me to the tandem jumper. And I don't know all the terms for this. So he like sets me up kind of rushed, like in a fast way. He's not taking pictures. He's just like trying to get his morning started, right? This is his job. This is his job to just go skydiving. Kind of crazy to have that job, but also pretty amazing, right? Like, so I'm kind of worried because he's doing this in a very fast motion that I'm like, I hope he's doing this right. You know, is today the day that I die skydiving? You know, I don't know. I hope not. But even if I do, I'm okay with it because at least I died doing something awesome. You know, that's my approach. Because at this point, this is what's going to happen. Like, I'm not backing out. I've already done it twice before. And now I'm like pumped. My adrenaline's going. This tandem jumper, he's slowly getting it together. And turns out he's Irish. Like Irish. And he's like, yeah, sorry I'm late. I got my coffee. I set you up and let's go out. Let's go out and do this. You ready? And I'm like, I'm ready. So right in front of the plane, he takes a picture. He's like, all right. And because he was like late, you know, we're last in the plane. There's probably like 7 pairs of people, right? There's about 14 people. And then right before I get in the plane, as I'm waiting for my tandem jumper, I see a group of 5 people and they're practicing a routine. So it turns out they entered a skydiving competition and they're using this plane that we're going to go on to practice their routine. So they're practicing their routine on land. They're doing their turns. They're like holding hands, like doing all of this while they're, you know, it looks like a slow paced dance. Okay. Because they're going to end up doing this in the fucking air. Like, what the fuck? Okay, so anyway, I'm totally intrigued by this. And I'm hearing, and they're not speaking English. And at first I thought it was German, but I'm like, no, it sounds like Dutch or something. So I'm last in the plane with my jumper because he was like slow to start. So all these people are behind us. So now we're the first to jump. And I'm like, oh shit, like this is real. Okay, so the plane is a small plane, and instead of having seats, you have these kind of benches. They're not going horizontally, they're going vertically. So that way, you're kind of spread legged, and there's a person right behind you, the person right in front of you, except, you know, like very, very close. So everyone's like on top of each other with a person like right there in front of you. Okay. And then I had this group of 5 that are jumping for their competition, and they are right in front of me and half on the ground. Okay, so there's 17. Okay, hold on. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. There's 19 people on this plane. It's packed. All right. So on the right of me, there's this door and it's clear. So I'm seeing everything that is happening. We're going up 13,000 feet. So the first time I went skydiving, we could only go up 10,000 feet because it was very cloudy. Basically, you want to go up high. The higher you go up, like 13,000 feet is pretty much the max, because above that, you might start having like issues, like breathing, right? 13,000 is the norm. If it's cloudy, you have to go lower. Okay, we went up 13,000 feet. A couple clouds, but nothing crazy. It was a little windy, but otherwise, it's a beautiful day. Okay, pretty clear. So this team is in front of me. My jumper is now hooking me up to him. You know, he's putting in all the attachments and whatnot. And we're hooked. Like, we're linked. He's testing it. He's checking it. And I'm like, fuck. You know, it's like happening. It's real. Okay, so now they're lifting up this door and it's windy. Okay, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, he puts these glasses on me because at first we're going to free fall before the chute comes up. So now we're at 13,000 feet. The door is up and this group of five, right, the competition jumpers, competitive jumpers, they hold hands, right? I don't know how they did it because it's five people and this door is not that big, but they're kind of like all hooking up, holding hands, and then they jump out at the same time. And I'm like, oh shit. like to be in the plane and see this happening just was crazy. You know what I mean? And especially five people. So they're holding hands in the center, right? So they're like a circle and they're spinning around and they just go kind of under the plane and I don't see them anymore. And I'm like, oh my God. And then the tandem jumper, you know, my partner, my main man, my Irish man, he's like, are you ready? And I'm like, yes. You know, yes, I'm ready. But on the inside, I'm like, I guess, like, I have to be, right? This is happening. And I have no time to think. Like, my brain, it's just on pause. There's no point for my brain to think anything. Like, it's too late. It's too late. And I know I've done this before and everything was great. I loved it. This is why I'm doing it again. Okay. This is why. But right that second before you jump, it's just this like crazy mixed emotions of everything, like everything in 1 second, you know? So I'm first. I'm hooked on to my tandem jumper. I'm in front of him. So I'm literally like outside of the plane, hooked onto him, and I'm just staring out. I'm just staring down like this is real, okay? And there's no time to think, okay? There's no time. And in that very moment, he jumps and we're free falling. And the wind is so strong. That's why he put the goggles on me. The tandem jumper has a helmet. Like, thank God he does, right? So that everything's like controlled. He can see everything. Everything's good. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm free falling. I have trouble breathing because it's hard. Like, I'm smiling, I'm laughing, I'm screaming, like everything at once. And every time I open my mouth, the air dries out my mouth. So I have to close my mouth, but it's hard because the wind pressure, like my cheeks are kind of rolling in the air because of all the wind. And it's just craziness. Okay. And this whole thing, this free falling felt like, I swear it felt like a minute. Obviously, it wasn't a minute. It was probably, I want to say 20 seconds max. You know, maybe 30 seconds, but I don't think so. It just all happened so fast. And then it's very loud when you're free falling. And I'm just seeing the ocean. I'm seeing the land, you know, and we're not close to the ocean. Like in the plane, I ask him, have you ever went skydiving like above the ocean? And he's like, no, I want to stay alive. No, I want to stay alive. Like in his Irish, whatever. That wasn't very Irish, but he said that it's too dangerous. You would never skydive above the ocean because it can get windy. There's more wind above water. And then when you land, the parachute can suffocate you. So great. Good we're not landing in the ocean. So, and he said, he's like, I've jumped 10,000 times. I've jumped 10,000 times. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And I don't know if that was from like Liverpool accent or Irish. So anyway, we're free falling. The chute opens and we go up. You know, all of a sudden the chute opens and you fly up. Like there's this just like pressure and you fly up. And now everything's more quiet. You know, it's not quiet because there's still like some wind. But now it's like, oh, now I can breathe. Now I'm seeing everything. You know, it's not as loud. And now he's taking video. I mean, I think he had been taking video this whole time because he has his GoPro. He's taking more pictures. He also has to steer because it is more windy. And I steer for a little bit, but I'm like, no, you steer. He did these turns, like these twisty turns, which made me a little bit dizzy. And I'm thinking, okay, don't do that. But he did it like three more times. And I'm like, oh shit, you know. So that was like the one thing. I don't need these twisty turns. I'm fine with just gliding. Like, I'm cool with that. So we went down a little faster. Like, this whole thing probably took about 5 minutes. It was not super fast. In Phoenix, it probably took about 10 minutes. Only because it was warmer temperature, no wind that day. And there were a lot of thermals, you know. So when you hit a thermal in the air, you go a little further up again. So you can take advantage and go longer. That was the difference. And it was pretty cool to skydive above Arizona, you know, above Phoenix. Just the desert. The desert is beautiful. So this was very different. Here's the ocean, a little bit more wind, but it was amazing. You know, so he's steering and he's like, okay. And he's like, do you know how to land? And I said, I either lift up my legs or I start running. And he's like, no, let me do the running. And so he wants me to put my legs back, you know, like from my knee, kind of put my legs back. And then he kind of glides, but it was hard for me to shift because I kind of landed on my butt. And then I quickly, as we're slipping on the ground, he wants me to jump up and kind of half run. But I'm like, you know, I don't know if I'm that flexible anymore. Or like, I couldn't get up like super fast like that. Whatever, it was fine. We landed and I couldn't feel my legs because there was so much adrenaline. That probably also didn't help for getting up, you know. So I just, like, my heart was racing. I was laughing. I was smiling. It was amazing. And I was so happy. And I just fucking felt alive, you know? And I just was like, oh my God, like, how amazing is this? And just talking about it makes me, like, so emotional because so many things happen in life, you know, as far as just emotions and everyday things and stress and money and all this shit. But then if you look back, there's very few things that really stand out, you know, that really are memorable. And this skydiving, that's one of them. And just that rush, it's this incredible rush. It's amazing, you know, and I understand why this person does it for his job. You know, would I want to jump every day? I don't know. I don't think so. But, you know, there's more chances for things to go wrong. I don't know. But he said it's one of the safest things you can do. It's safer than driving a car, which I believe, because yes, you have the weather. And yes, if you don't set up your chute correctly, even though you have a backup parachute, there's always things that can go wrong. But on the road, it's you and, like, you know, hundreds of other people, right? Anything can go wrong because you don't know what these other people are going to do, what your car is going to do, whatever. So he's saying in that regard, skydiving is safer. But when things go wrong in skydiving, then you die. Like, that's it, you know? In a car, you may not necessarily die. So that's that. But it was just like, it was amazing. I just felt like, wow, I'm so glad I did this. And now I'm like, I got to do it every 10 years at least, right? Like every 10 years, just go for it. I just had this amazing day. I felt this rush, you know, and I was just smiling like the whole day. And after that, after these like 5 minutes of jumping, I couldn't believe that that just happened. Like, it's something so surreal. You know, it was so real and amazing. And then afterwards, you're like, wow, I can't believe I just jumped from a plane. You know, and I decided to drive to the Oceanside Beach, to the pier. And it's really beautiful. I'd never been to the ocean there. And it was beautiful. It was a Friday. It wasn't busy. And I walked along the pier and I looked up at the sky and I'm like, wow, I just did that. You know, that just happened. And it was amazing. And I just took in the sun, the weather. You know, on the pier, it was not windy. It was just beautiful and warm. And I was like, what an amazing day. Like, what an amazing day, right? And I'm supposed to, technically, we're supposed to feel this way every day. We're just supposed to appreciate the day and take it in. But it gets, like, overtaken by all this other crap that we also have to deal with, right? Because we're human and we can only take so much, you know? But this put everything into perspective. It was incredible. And I just took every moment and savored it. And so after that, I really felt kind of changed. I mean, yes, I've done this before, the skydiving, but the older I get, the more I want to savor, I want to appreciate. And that's why I did these activities on these days off, because, you know, I'm more than halfway through my life, probably, and I just want to fucking enjoy it. You know, it's too short for all this stress and baggage and heaviness, right? That's always going to be there. Too many things have happened for us to not be emotional, to look back and have things affect you. And that's okay. You know, that comes with it. But on the flip side, enjoy the outdoors, enjoy the sun, enjoy just the simple things. And then the next day, on a Saturday, I met my friends. So my longtime friend from LA, I met her with her husband at Disneyland. I'd never been to Disneyland. I've been to Euro Disney in Paris, but I'd never been to Disneyland. So if you live in Southern California, right now they have this deal that you can get a ticket for Disneyland for 3 days. It's a 3-day pass. You can pick any days you want. You don't have to take the 3 days together till May 15th. And you can go to Disneyland. And it's 3 days for $200, which is not crazy. Anyways, about $200 with tax. We get to Disneyland. I go there early, but it was the worst because it was a Saturday. And it was super busy. Just getting in there took like 40 minutes. You know, because everyone else is getting in there too. I finally make it into the park. I do some rides by myself because my friend is not kind of the early person. I meet them later after I do that Star Wars, was it Rise of the Resistance ride? Which at first I was in line. First of all, I was in an hour line, which later on, I guess, sometimes gets to be an hour and a half. So I'm like, I'm waiting for my friends. I might as well do this ride because they had already done it. They're Disneyland fans. Okay, I've never been to Disneyland. I can take it or leave it, but I'm like, let me just go, you know? So I go on this ride. I wait for an hour. You start off the ride by going into this, I don't know, it's like a spaceship and there's a screen and then, you know, you're in Star Wars world. And you're going through space and it's making the movements. And I'm like, is this the ride? Like, how lame is that? I waited an hour for this. But then the doors open and you get to the next part. And there's all these different parts to this whole adventure. And it ended up being pretty cool. So you get out of this spaceship and then you walk over and there's staff there and they pretend, you know, they're acting. And they're like very tough with you. They're like, line up, you know, get in a line, go through this door, you know. So we end up going into this kind of, I don't know, like this vehicle. It's like a slidey vehicle. And I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I'm sorry, but I don't know all the terms, all the names. And anyway, we go along. There's Darth Vader and this ride. It's like a car and it goes through all these different parts of the spaceship and you're seeing how Darth Vader's stressing out and there's all these other characters. Anyway, I'm really bad at explaining this part because I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but I did enjoy the ride and it was fun. And then I met up with my friends and we pretty much stayed most of the time in the New Orleans area because they say all the best rides are there. We had a clam chowder bread bowl for lunch, which was pretty good, but it was mostly bread and like a half a cup of soup. But okay, it was still enjoyable. But it was just so busy with all these strollers. There was literally an area just to park your stroller. It was like a field of strollers. And I'm like, I never want to come on a Saturday again. It was so crazy. But I did enjoy it. And on the way out, I saw Mickey Mouse and we got a picture with him. Even though the person taking pictures, they work for the park, you know, and it's not like their most favorite thing they do. So they didn't seem too excited about it. But we got a picture with Mickey Mouse. And then the following week, that's when I visited my dad. And I'm going to actually do a whole separate thing about the visit to my dad, because the whole trip was more meaningful than I expected it to be, which was great and really nice, but I'd like to go into more detail with it. I hope you enjoyed today. And if this inspired you to go skydiving, I highly recommend it. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.